Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I began the show and asked the question, what would we do without the comfort of mid-afternoon or early afternoon soccer? We didn't have a match yesterday. The intern didn't have anything to gamble on. I didn't have anything to entertain myself with. The summer had changed a little bit. We didn't have soccer. And it was a question for me what I would do. And you know what I did? What I would normally do. Without a major sporting event in the middle of the afternoon. I fell into the old habits, had lunch and took a nap. So it was pretty simple. Didn't take very much to slip back into old habits.
Yeah, time to go back to the old me.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard.
1 p.m. nap.
Yeah, there it is. Soccer was one of my new friends. But once it's over, no new friends. And what I do is I slip back into old comforts. And that's get my favorite Chinese food. And then go take a nap. So that's what happened. And then when I woke up, I was refreshed to watch Spencer Arrighetti pitch. And what a comfort that was. He was bad again, particularly when it came to putting balls in spots that national hitters could drive out of the ballpark. It was tough. It was a tough outing for him. It has been a consistent theme since the month of June began. And now he had one good start in July, and the hope was that his bad month of June was the inverse of Jalen Green's great months of March. That, hey, once the month is over, he'll be back to being the pitcher we had seen for the first couple months. That did not happen. The Nationals bashed him, and they put the Astros away pretty early, and it was a runaway after Arrighetti was taken out. So they lose that game, and I was thinking about the Nationals because – of certainly some conversations we've had on the morning show about their young talent. Sean, do you want to guess how old Cam Smith is?
He is a college guy. I know that from Florida State. So 24.
Cam Smith is 23. Not a bad guess. Okay. He turned 23 in February. Okay. You know who else is 23?
James Wood.
Yep. James Wood.
That guy's good.
Which one of these things is not like the other? The almost entirety of that Nationals lineup, no one was older than 27 who took the field yesterday against the Astros, at least as far as their starting lineup is concerned. They're littered with guys in between 23 and 27 that you'd love to have on your roster. Abrams, of course, is another one. We talked about him yesterday as part of the trade that sent Juan Soto to the Padres. They've got an Abrams and a Wood. We've got a Bryce Matthews, a DeCenzo, a Loprofito. Just name them. All the mid-25-year-old Astros.
Arrighetti,
too. Bryce Matthews, Cam Smith, all in that same bucket of guys who are not old prospects, certainly young for baseball, but there are levels to this. And while Cam Smith was a big-time prospect with the Cubs, you got him in the Kyle Tucker trade, good job, Dana Brown. He was credited with getting him along with Paredes and Wesneski, who we don't see anymore. I look out and I watch what James Wood is doing, and I'm like, man. Well, I guess that speaks to what type of player Kyle Tucker is compared to Juan Soto. What you can get for Kyle Tucker versus what you can get for Juan Soto.
Or it's also part of the lottery of a AAA prospect that you're just like, sure, this guy, you know, like maybe he turns into, you know, James Wood, looks like multiple time All-Star at the very least. He plays in the NL, so MVP's probably a little outside of his reach with Ohtani in there, but yeah, you're just like, it's like the Rockets getting the number two pick in, or number three pick in the drafts. They got those picks where you're like, really wish it was the one pick. Really wish we're dealing with Cade Cunningham, not Jalen Green.
So that Nationals young lineup had their way, and they win in convincing fashion, and the Astros try to bounce back. I was just struck by the level of young talent and the comp between the Astros and that Nationals team. And yesterday, James Wood saw 14 pitches. Or at the time of this tweet, he had seen 14 pitches. He had only seen two strikes. He didn't swing in those at-bats and walk three times. I don't know if that's a level of respect, and he's kind of earned it so far this season, but also just bad Astros pitching. But he faced 14 pitches, 12 of them were balls. He did not swing once, and he walked three times. And it didn't get better for the Astros when he did get the swing. So there it is. That's tough to watch, particularly for Arrigetti, who when it went bad, it really went bad. And just pitches that you knew as soon as you saw the location, that ball is going to get hit a long way. And the Nationals simply did not miss those mistakes. And you start to look at what Arrigetti is. That ERA is now 4.5. Even with the good start in his previous start this in July, because of how bad he was yesterday, I mean, it's only two starts, but the ERA is 9 in this month, which is just a continuation of what he was in June. So now we go from being convinced that he was a guy that you could team up with Hunter Brown. And hell, we were joking about it earlier this week that if the Astros were really in on a major trade for a pitcher, like Nightingale talked about how they're in on Scooble and Sonny Gray, unless there's some unknown, and because I am who I am, there probably are some unknown top prospects that another team might want. But if they're not, you'd have to pull from your major league roster to go get a guy like Scooble in that fantasy world. And Arrigetti would be someone that the Tigers would ask for, at least. I mean, they still might, but that would certainly have been the case up until the month of June. Now all you know of him is he's had two good months on the major league level. And is that enough to be the centerpiece in some superstar trade the Astros would want to pull off? Likely it would be they would want to add Scooble to Arrigetti and Brown, but I don't see a way that could occur. And it's, at this point, fantasy land anyway, to think that the Astros would make that type of acquisition. But the 4 innings, the 7 hits, the 8 earned runs, all ugly stuff for Arrigetti. And the Abrams home run that made it 6-1 was it. Once that happened, you can pack it up for Spencer Arrigetti, and the Astros go down 8-2. Yeah, James Wood didn't even have to swing the bat. I was thinking of Abrams, who hit the big time home run that put the game away. Wood could be comfortable getting walked three times and scoring two runs.
Honestly, Arrigetti, best thing you could have done.
Not pitch to James Wood.
I don't want him messing around in the strike zone against that guy.
Yeah, it would have gone poorly, like everything else that went poorly. Wood has scored 84 runs. No one else has more than 64.
Wow.
As of 6:38 last night. I mean, it might have changed since that point, but as far as how many the next closest to him, but that's how far ahead he was at the start of play yesterday. Run scoring machine. And then, of course, they got a great pitching performance as well that just when it came to what Forrest Griffin did. So it was all bad. And our Foster Griffin, not Forrest Griffin, excuse me, Foster Griffin. So there it is, 8-2, the final. And while there is certainly a level of past success here, I'd much rather be a national fan, knowing that that guy, at least is going to be here for several years now. Even if they eventually will leave, that's years down the line. The Astros' best players, either they're old or their impending departures are far closer on the calendar or near on the calendar than the Nationals. That's not a great baseball team. They're fine. They're just above 500 in a division that's all of a sudden got tougher because the Marlins don't lose games anymore.
I was going to say, the Nats are like, I don't know, what, 2-3 games better than the Astros? At least they were at the start of the season, or at the start of the series.
Yeah, it's now they're 3 better in the loss column.
Yeah, and how many games back in the division are they?
6.5. So
the Astros still in the thick of it.
Yes, well, yeah, two games back because, as I said, the Mariners are losing to the Marlins. The Marlins don't lose anymore.
Yeah.
And the Rangers lost last night as well.
That's how you get that result is the AL West teams just lose every time they play an NL East team. But, yeah, the Nats, it's interesting. There is a little bit of me that's still like, if the Juan Soto trade was that good, like, you should be winning a little bit more than this, you know, being 500 3 years later. But some of that could also just be the rest of the Nats. Yeah. Like, they made a good trade, and it's just like the rest of their GMing isn't going as well.
Yeah, you can't supply the entire roster with the
Juan Soto
trade.
Like, four guys in a team, in a sport that, yeah, I mean, you see on the Astros. Like, the Astros are also, there's differences that you pointed out. It also is like very stars and scrubs in the, you know, football parlance of, yeah, there's, you know, Alvarez, there's Brown, there's Pena, and, you know, you get into some Paredes, some Altuves when he's hitting, and then it gets to Arrigetti pretty fast. They have a lot of best or top five in their positions, Josh Hader, and then you have like, you know, on what I think game one of the series, you had a error where Nick Allen was throwing to Braden Shoemaker.
Yeah, there's Shoemaker and an Allen in there.
Yeah, it's like it gets thin pretty fast, and that's how you get these two teams with similar records,
but maybe different trajectories. If the Nationals can add on to the guys they currently have seemed to have hit on, and Arrigetti felt like a hit. Like a month plus ago, now certainly feels different than it felt in May and April. So that happened. The Astros lose a series. So that's now two. If we want to really, really dive into the negative, that's two of the last three series they've lost after winning, what was it, 4 or 5 in a row? But they have the day off today. So we take a breather and we get back at it right before the All-Star break. Astros day off, and then it'll be the Rangers, who they hit well against in Globe Life. So that's a very familiar and comfortable park for them over the last 4 or 5 years. The bats do come alive generally there, and we'll see if that can happen again and get back to their winning ways, or winning ways, I'll say, before we wrap up the first half of the season. All right, we'll go to break with that. Do need to get into something in our favorite sport, at least mine and Sean's. College football's back, and by back I mean Media Day is happening around the country. At least Big 12 had theirs this week. We had a very awkward interaction between a reporter for Texas Tech and the commissioner of the Big 12. You're going to hear several things in this sound, particularly someone's inability to say a very common word, particularly in the state of Texas. So we'll get to that. And we'll also rank the Captain America, Sean, so get your thoughts together. We've had a couple of international tournaments where the Captain Americas didn't fare well, and we've got one Captain America who will be featured in some way in an Avengers movie later this year. So even without seeing Avengers Doomsday, you got to rank the Captain Americas. They're Judge, Pulisic, and Mackey. You got to rank them. Who's going to have the better? Even, who's going to have the better 2026, Sean?
I don't get Evans.
Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. He doesn't hold the mantle as it stands right now.
Okay.
We expect him in Doomsday.
Yeah.
But as it stands now,
okay. No, there's
one.
Fair.
And I see you trying to whitewash Mackey off the Captain America mantle. No, but currently, don't get Evans.
I wanted four.
You get three. Unless you want to pick the captain for the women's soccer team, you get three.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take her.
She's definitely having a better time.
<take her. laughs>
No matter what's going on over there. So you get to rank the Captain Americas, and you all can do it at home because we just saw one fail miserably, and it's getting crushed. And we know Judge about his performances. He wasn't great in the World Baseball Classic and just overall when it comes to things with stakes. Aaron Judge generally doesn't come through. And then you have Mackey, who isn't alone in trying to bring Marvel back, but it just fits the theme. So we'll get to that. Sean will rank who will have the best year for Captain America with two of the three already reporting. So we'll get to that. And we'll also have something that I don't think I'll participate in, but maybe you guys might. I'll let you know about that as well. So we're just getting started here. We're here till noon. We will be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So I asked the question, who's having a worse night into morning? This was right after the USMNT got smacked around by Belgium. Pulisic was one of them. And then a guy I wouldn't have ever mentioned or known unless this story popped up. Jacob Toby, he was, and I use was specifically because his alleged affair with the sister of a Spurs player, by the way, Jacob Toby was the play-by-play man for the Spurs. He was punished for this alleged affair by losing his job. If you don't know the specifics of the story, it happened early morning Tuesday, where his Instagram account was used to tell the world that he not only was cheating on his girl, but he was doing it with the sister of Spurs bench player Lindy Waters. His girlfriend used his account to spread the news and make other comments as well. That seems to have led to his firing. So my question is it because his girlfriend exposed him, or is it because it's the sister of a Spurs player? And he has, I think there is some type of relationship with Lindy Waters where they're at least somewhat friendly from all the internet investigating I've been doing. And by investigating, just reading posts from Reddit.
Seeing other people's investigation.
Yes.
And seeing the bullet points
and drawing conclusions from their investigation. So is it because it's embarrassing? That might be enough. It's public. That's embarrassing. You got to go. But is it a fireable offense to cheat on your girl? Even if it is made public, aren't you still able to do your job as a Spurs play by play man? Is the Spurs play by play man like a position of public trust that's now eroded because of this apparent affair?
I think with the Spurs, it is. I think it's something you have to uphold the integrity of the great San Antonio Spurs organization, you know?
I mean, they've had these issues inside their actual team in the past, like with players being involved. That has happened in the past.
Yeah, but, you know, it's what I said during the break. You know, some people can get away with it. I don't think.
Yeah,
I don't think Toby can get away with it.
But he was their TV play-by-play guy. I guess those guys are easily replaceable.
Every year, 10,000 of these guys graduate in college. Like, yeah. Just get another one.
Just hire the son of one of the guys.
Yeah.
Who's done it and just give him the job.
Yeah, I think that's what allegedly, if a player, let's say, like Tony Parker had done this, he gets to keep his job.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
If Tony had ever done this. Yeah.
But, you know, it's easier when it's like this play-by-play guy. Sure. Whatever.
You can go find another play-by-play guy. It's hard to go find a future Hall of Fame point guard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's much harder. And I think if this guy cheated on his wife or cheated on his girlfriend, with someone who's not directly related to the Spurs or the Spurs roster, at least. I think he gets away. I mean, Ime Udoka got caught by doing the same thing.
With someone inside their organization?
Yeah, yeah. So that's the problem.
So you are...
Infidelity is not the problem.
But it wasn't made public until he was fired, right?
Yeah.
So you are leaning more into, if it wasn't the sister of Lindy Waters, he might have survived? Or public plus sister means you got to go?
I think it's more important that it's the sister of Lindy Waters. I think if his girlfriend posted the same things.
And it's just some girl.
And just some no random connection. Chick. Okay. It's embarrassing, but it's whatever.
We keep it moving.
He probably keeps his job.
Okay. I would agree. That seems like, I think it all came together to lead to his firing.
Yeah.
There's
also,
a lot.
Let me set up my Indeed notifications.
Do you have play-by-play experience?
No. But I've been faithful, so. Well,
there it is.
A step up.
I promise.
I can guarantee you I will not be involved with the sisters of any of these players.
You say that now.
And then what? What? Bismack Biyombo's sister's going to...
I don't know, Sean. You know, love is love.
All right.
You never know.
A Plumlee sister is going
to... You keep looking for the Plumlee connection. I don't know that there is a Plumlee sister.
It's just funny.
I know. See, you're speaking on this. You're speaking on that man situation. You haven't been in his shoes. You've never been able to interact with the sister of a Spurs rotation. That's too strong.
Nope.
Bench player. Spurs bench player. You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
But
no, you're right.
But
I don't know.
Do the Spurs ask anyone who takes the job to write a promise of I won't ever? Just a...
You have to say vows to R.C. Buford and Sean Elliott.
I'm sure it's not even R.C. Buford. I'm sure Wimby presides over all that stuff anyway. I'm sure they just get him involved.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Again, paragon of morality, Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, clearly. He showed that in the playoffs. So the Spurs are without a play-by-play man. We'll see what they do to replace him. And they'll just simply ask the next guy, hey, please.
There's just one rule, really.
Look, we got several rules. But one rule we're going to need you to follow. Stay away. Well, you know what? We can't even tell you not to date a player's sister. We'd ask you not to. And particularly,
look what happened to the last
guy. If you are in a long-term relationship with a girl who will use your phone to publicize your infidelity.
Yeah. You know what? I do think the infidelity plays a part. I think if this guy was single and he just started dating Lindy Waters'
I think that's fine.
I think it's
there's
fine.
No problem
I think it's,
there.
I think
it has to be
it's
the infidelity.
Spurs player plus infidelity.
Yeah, it's a combination. It's a combination. It all came together where the Spurs found it untenable, so he had to go.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre wants to talk about this. He wants to talk about something very ugly that happened in San Antonio. We'll just leave it at that. What's up, Dr. Dre?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good to chat with you. I do got to say, haven't the Spurs already set a precedent? I mean, first things first, you don't dip your pen in the company ink, right?
That has been said, yes.
Okay. So let's go back, 15, 20 years, Tony Parker and hitting up the wife of, was it John Barry?
Brent.
Is that right?
It was Brent.
Brent. Okay, yeah. Imagine being Tony Parker and stepping out on Eva Longoria, good Lord, and now somebody steps out on their wife and now they're fired. I mean, this is a bit hypocritical. I mean, I got to ask that the play-by-play guy, was the kitty worth it? Was your job worth it?
He's going to tell you no.
I'm out.
I think he's going to tell you clearly it was not worth it. That's... As much as we're joking about they're so replaceable, that's a good job. That's a very good job to have. And who knows what it'll lead to.
Yeah. It's replaceable because it's,
there's so many guys who want to do it. They're going to find someone who's going to love to do that job. And he had it. And depending on how competent you are, you can have that job for decades or you can use it as a stepping stone to something else. And because of this apparent what?
You could use it to date.
No.
You can use it to date.
No. Well,
you can. Won't have the job for very long. But you can.
Yeah. And Dr. Dre, yes, we did talk about the Tony Parker thing, but it's always a question of are you worth it? Tony Parker clearly worth not trading him or releasing him because he was with Brent Barry's wife, allegedly. And also, he was allegedly with Brent Barry's wife, not Tim Duncan's.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
It's Brent Berry. He's easily someone they could discard.
He's and go, the Toby in this.
Yeah. I mean, it's Brent Berry, dunk champion, fine NBA career. But come on. If they're making a decision, it's
like,
a pretty
like
easy one.
Dunk champion is
it's
his a, first,
it's the most it's, prominent
it's
thing
his
he's
first
done.
First bullet point
in
white
the NBA.
Dunk champion.
Yeah, and he wore his warm up suit to do it.
Yeah,
so
97.
Still remember it. Yeah. So, yeah, there are levels.
Beat Kobe in a dunk contest.
Claim to fame, certainly. And also, your teammate, Tony Parker, decided.
That's a tougher second bullet point. The second bullet point's tough.
Yeah, I'd rather, if I'm Brent Berry, I'd rather have son of Rick Berry,
mm-hmm.
brother of John.
12-year NBA vet.
Dunk champion.
Or whatever it is, yeah.
And if you could push the Tony Parker thing way down there, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
But instead, at least for this dumb show, it's at the top of the list.
He's on NBA TV a lot?
Yeah, he is a prominent member of the basketball community, and yet, through no fault of his own,
the only time we ever bring him up
is because of what Tony Parker did.
Not even white dunk champions.
No.
Mac McClung.
We've had
that.
Those before.
Yeah, he ruined the novelty.
Yeah, big deal.
Winning.
Big deal. Mac McClung has won multiple. You only did it once. And the Tony Parker thing will live forever. All right, we'll go to break. We'll get to whatever I had planned to get to before I saw that news break when we come back.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So this week, the Big 12 announced that they have a entitlement sponsor for their football and basketball regular seasons. What that means is, I guess it's somewhat like bowl games, where it's the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, the Capital One Orange Bowl. Now it's the Monster Energy Big 12. I wonder if the TV partners have to say it, but it will be on the field. Monster Energy logos will be on the field. So it will be prominently displayed and also on the football and basketball jerseys. So it'll be on the courts and the jerseys. Culver is on the Wisconsin jerseys. We're seeing more of that. That's something you're going to see. We're going the way the NBA goes now, where you're going to have sponsors on the jerseys. And
yeah, just where the little, you know, where Nike or the Adidas on the other side.
It's yeah. Going to be a- I mean, we've become used to the athletic apparel logo, and it's something we just know. It's a thing. Yeah. Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and so on. Now you're going to see, in some ways, random food companies or fast food places on these jerseys. And also, for the Big 12, all those jerseys will have Monster Energy, whatever the logo they want to use, on the jerseys. Basketball, football, women's basketball as well.
But Kansas also has, like, some crypto patch.
Couple patches.
Okay.
I guess that's how it'll work.
I didn't think that they're double dipping, but if they can double dip, then go for it. But, yeah, I can't wait for, Dave Pasch or someone to be like, here are the Monster Big 12 standings.
Yeah, do we have to call it the Monster Energy Big 12? Is that something?
Only
for football and basketball.
Yes, football and men's and women's basketball.
Yes, for those three sports.
Right? Or is there another
Yes, one? It's those three sports okay. that have a partnership with Monster Energy.
Baseball is just the Big 12.
Until they find one.
Yeah,
we'll see if Vitamin Water wants to get involved with baseball in the Big 12.
Celsius is like, we're getting lapped here.
Yeah, whatever it takes. So be aware of that. It'll strike you as odd, certainly, but it's now a thing. We also had an odd interaction at the media day for the Big 12. Happened a couple days ago now. You're going to hear from a Texas Tech reporter talking to Big 12 Commissioner Michael Yormark. And listen to a particular word this Big 12 reporter struggles with.
Sean Dillon, Rocket Pregame. Commission, Texas Tech got fined over tortillas, and tortillas were banned outright. OSU paddles broke an always make a rule, has a tradition exemption. Sorsby never played a snap for the Red Raiders. Big 12 sued them anyway, while Cincinnati hasn't been yet touched. You're selling greater than 12. Why should Texas Tech fans believe it?
Can you sit? Let me come closer to you. Stand up. Ask that question again, and I'm going to give you the answer I want to give you. So go ahead.
Texas Tech got fined for tortillas, and tortillas were banned outright. OSU has had paddles that were given a noisemaker exemption back in 2012. Sorsby never played a snap for the Red Raiders, and yet there is a lawsuit. Cincinnati has yet to be touched. You're selling greater than 12. Why should Texas Tech fans believe them?
No, I didn't say greater than 12. You misquoted me. I said we're going forward as 16 strong, and that's my answer to your question. But thank you for that question. Appreciate it.
Gentleman in the black.
Now, what you don't see are fellow media members laughing into their hands, holding their heads. I don't know if the gentleman has a speech impediment, so that's possible. I don't know this. I don't know him. Because I was struck by a certain way into the question he struggles with tortilla, and then he says it fine.
And then when Brett Yormark asks him to repeat it, he screws up the same way.
Yeah.
Where he screws up the first time
and then
one sentence later gets it right.
So it is just possible how the sentence is structured and led to that. I don't know. It was just an odd
stadium
occurrence.
Stadium pulse. I mean, the second one, you could hear him leak confidence.
Well, yeah. When the Big 12 commissioner goes, hey.
Stand up.
I'm going to stand up and ask that question again. Pretty much go, hey, stand be a man and ask the question again.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, okay. I guess I got to ask this again. Yeah,
let me.
And then he didn't get my notes. He didn't get a satisfactory answer, and he was being charged with misquoting the Big 12 commissioner.
The biggest crime of all.
Never misquote the Big 12.
I mean, if there's one thing I've learned from Nick Caserio press conferences,
they hate when they think they've been misquoted.
Just like one word off, that's their out. To be like, that's not what I said. You misquoted me. That's all you guys do. Next question. Just like
you for
it depending gets you out of anything.
Depending on how the level that the person you're asking the question of wants to be confrontational, get the quote right because that's a let off for them.
Yeah.
If they can get out of answering the question by saying you got a portion of it wrong, I never said that. They've got you in a box that they want you in, and they'll deflect and keep it moving.
Bill O'Brien did the same thing, too, where it's like if you screwed one thing up, he'd just be like, get it right next time. Next question.
Yeah. He goes, I don't got to answer you because this minuscule thing that maybe you paraphrase, I didn't say that. I win. Keep it moving.
There's one story Paul would tell me where he mixed up – like he was referencing like a specific play or something. And he mixed up C.J. Fedorowicz and Ryan Griffin. And Bill O'Brien was like, it wasn't C.J. Fedorowicz.
It was one of your tight ends, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And but not the right
it
one.
It was like a 30-second question. And he mixed up which white tight end it was. That's a 72 overall in Madden.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not like you had Tony Gonzalez out there.
Yeah, but that's just
– It's
got to come correct.
It's a way out. So that happened.
Especially for confrontation.
And his brother, not the reporter's brother, but Michael Yormark's brother, is a noted outcast in South Florida because of what he did with the Florida Panthers before they got good. He was someone who is not well respected, and so there was an active campaign against Brett Yormark because he was in line to be the Miami Hurricanes AD, and people in South Florida was like, "Excuse me, this guy's a disaster. He's not his brother." And we don't even think that much of his brother. But we're certainly not going to let you hire the guy who would run the premier program in South Florida. So I don't think the Yormarks are going to have I think they're twins, too. Michael may continue to be the Big 12 AD.
No, Brett is the Big 12.
Brett will continue to be the Big 12 commissioner. Michael doesn't look like he's going to get that Miami job. There could have been Yormarks all around college football. In the fall.
The Monster Energy Miami Hurricanes.
will programs, specific programs, have that type of connection? I mean, Tillman Fertitta, in some ways, people believe, owns the Cougars. We haven't heard the Landry's Houston Cougars as of yet.
Yeah.
So there's still some distance.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, it's like, whatever. Red Bulls Leipzig. It's like Red Bulls Salzburg. Red Bull just buys a team
yeah.
and names them whatever you want.
We'll see.
New York Red Bulls.
Yeah, we're getting close to that with the sponsorship,
like, it wouldn't be
patches
insane.
On jerseys. We might get to a point where there is, and like Papa John's was closely tied with Louisville. So
yeah,
there could be a time where an entire program is sponsored by a brand.
Yeah, I do wonder what the, because it does, you can get all the same benefits of doing it without actually calling it the KFC Louisville Cardinals or whatever, or the Papa John's Cardinals, you know, like, I do wonder if there's a little bit of like,
you can name your arena the Yum Center.
Yeah, it seems a little like the Big 12's catching a little bit of like, wait, you're just like selling the naming rights to your entire conference for football, basketball, and you're getting $1 million a school by doing it. You know, it's like it starts putting in the price of like, wait, that's all this is worth? Is $1 million?
Think about it. Yeah. It's 16 schools, $20 million.
Yeah.
That's all?
To name the conference?
Tap for your biggest sports?
Yeah. I don't know. But I also think, you know, if there was, maybe it's just something where we live in the bubble of like, how's the Big 12 not worth more than $1 million a school? And if you're Monster Energy, you're like, yeah, we're in every gas station in America. So it's not, we're not blown away by BYU's, whatever mascot doing pushups and stuff. Like, no, the price is the price. No other conference has ever done this. Yeah. So this is the price.
Yeah. And if the SEC seems to think that this is a good way of doing business, their price will be much higher than the Big 12's. And they'll trumpet it and dunk on the Big 12 because look how much we got to do the same thing.
Look how much the Chick-fil-A SEC is. Look how much,
And from what I can tell,
Raising Cane's power rankings.
And from what I can tell, watching ACC football on Saturdays, I mean, is a Bojangles? Is it going to be the Bojangles ACC?
We can't name the conference that.
They have Bojangles as one of their sponsors for the ACC like game five of the week.
I know
that's on at 11 in this time time zone. There's Bojangles across the broadcast.
I know, and you know, like it happens with the basketball tournaments. You know, where it'll be like the, you know, whatever, Phillips 66 Big 12 basketball tournament, like that, they already have sold bits and pieces of it. It's not that much different, but no, it's just, I don't know. Isn't Bojangles, isn't there some historical?
But that's why
you can't name it that.
They make a killer biscuit, Sean.
Okay, I'll take their word for it. I know. I
they have like come to Texas.
We've talked about this before,
for it.
But it's in like whatever,
Webster,
Katy or
in
something.
League City, places you don't travel.
No.
I don't know if they have any inside the loop yet as of now. Maybe the loop's too blue to welcome a Bojangles. Some things we won't allow.
They're definitely, if you try to open one up, there'd be picket signs. Like, wait,
what is this?
What? You named the restaurant. What?
Guys, it's been a staple in the South for a long time. They make a mean blueberry cookie. Or they have a special name for it. It's not blueberry.
I'm sure it is a special name.
Well, it's a berry, but it's not a berry you'll find in nature.
Oh, okay.
It's just something that they can have specific to them. And
like
they
Aunt Jemima berries?
Nope, not that far. They will put it in their biscuits and their cookies. I forgot what it's called. It's I'll find it. It's a good dessert.
I'm open. I'm open to it. This is not a comment on the quality of
just
the restaurant.
Just the name. Oh, trust me. I fought my battles internally.
I know. I it's not my place. If the people in whatever North Carolina are fine with this, I guess I'm fine with it too.
They're called Bowberries. Gotta have the name tied.
Yeah. No. That's unfortunately a great name.
Bowberry cookies.
Yeah. Jangleberries also would be good.
As long as it's not Dingle. All right. We'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, like Dr. Dre did, 713-780-3776.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.